This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives, on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Here we are again, and this time we will also put the whole episode on YouTube. So this is new for us. So we hope you will be happy with it, what you see. And Bill, welcome. Here you are again.
Hi, hey, it's wonderful to see you again. It's great to be together.
Yes, Bill, this time we decided, you know, to talk about fasting. Fasting in a business setting with some ideas about business in mind. You have some interesting, I think, as someone who watching it, some interesting experiences with fasting. You've done it before in the past, right? And you are now in the middle of it.
That's correct, Heya. Several years ago, I was introduced to a little six-month training program and then one particular event while I was living overseas. Do you want me to explain a little bit about what that was like?
Yes, I didn't hear that one yet. So that's totally new for me too. What did you learn, Bill?
I was rebuked by the Lord on one occasion because I had been in the U.S. This was 20 years ago. And my daughter and son-in-law were going through a stressful situation where my granddaughter, their first child, was in the hospital for 6 months. And it was a very challenging situation. So during that time, my son-in-law and I were working in my garage building a kit car. I was doing it solely as a stress relief kind of mechanism. He likes building things. I like building things. And on three or four occasions, we worked all night long until the sun came up, but we just were having a great time. During that time, I was going back and forth to my company in China. And on one occasion, there were some of my employees on a Thursday night said, "Hey, boss, we think that we ought to be praying tonight for the company." And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. I mean, who wouldn't love to have employees come to them and say, "Boss, we really want to pray for the company."
That sounds
great.
So
around 10 o'clock, it does sound good, doesn't it? It's an incredibly enthusiastic group of people. And I think they actually were core reason we had so much experience from the Lord during those years. But around 10 o'clock that night, I realized, oh, they meant pray all night long. And I'm thinking, this is challenging. They have kids at home. They got to work the next day. And around midnight, in my wisdom, I decided to just kind of call it to an end and just thank them for their faithfulness and for their willingness to follow the Lord. And I just encouraged them to end there and go on home and have a little time with, you know, get some rest before they came into work in a few hours. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know, he's such kind of a funny person. He said, "Let me see if I have this right. You will stay up all night long to work on the car I gave you, but you will not stay up all night long to lead your brothers and sisters to me. Is that correct?" And I felt horrible. I go, "Lord, this is so embarrassing, but you are correct in relating those facts." And so I decided I'd better repent from my attitude and just ask him, "Well, what would you like me to do?" And he said, "I want you to give me 6 months. I'm going to train you. And I said, okay, what do you want me to do? And he said, every week, Monday to Friday, fast. And then every Friday night, I want you to pray all night long until Saturday morning. And so I did this for every week for 6 weeks, or 6 months rather. And what I realized is it's just a simple skill that once you get comfortable with it, it's not a big deal. It's not particularly challenging. Your body adjusts to it. And so fasting became kind of one of the tools I had in my tool belt for trying to understand how to bring the kingdom into my life.
So I understand it right. Here you go, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday to work while you're fasting.
Correct.
And you were fine.
I was fine.
You didn't faint and you didn't, you lost weight probably.
I may have lost a little bit, but my Saturday morning ritual, because I could eat on Saturdays, was to go to a buffet at the local Holiday Inn Hotel. And so every Saturday morning, I look forward to probably making up for 5 days of not eating, but it was a nice buffet. I enjoyed that a lot.
So your stomach wasn't like, what do you do now? I mean, I learned also a bit about fasting, and it's kind of good to start with small bites again, some fruit. And Bill Jope were like, was like, I'm going to this hotel, to this buffet.
It seemed to work fine for me, but I do know what you're talking about. And on one occasion when I fasted just for health reasons, that was my experience. I got sick after 3 days of not eating when I had a tuna salad. And it was not pretty. So I do understand that if you're fasting just for purely health reasons, you may have a different set of circumstances to experience. But if you're fasting for spiritual reasons, I do think that something's changed in that.
Yeah, because then there was another occasion, right? Maybe, you know, some of our faithful listeners might already have heard about the time that you needed a new, well, help me, what you needed in the factory.
Let's see, what story are you thinking of? I want to make sure I can. I was thinking of the time when the Lord asked me to fast and pray for the city.
So go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. And so this actually became what I think is the main reason that the Lord sent me to that city in China. It was to identify with something that my ancestors who were British did in transiting or in doing business with opium, just pushing opium through that port city for hundreds of years. And it really caused a great deal of sadness on the Lord's part and suffering over the people, for the people of China. And so he asked me to fast and pray for the city. And then he said, think 40. And I asked, are we talking about hours or days? And he said, think 40 days. And I said, okay. And then he said, 25 days preparation and 15 days practice. And at the time, I didn't understand what he meant. But it later on became clear to me that I needed to have 25 days of preparation. And then 15 days, I needed to practice repenting for the sins of my ancestors before the Lord. And it was a case where in the book of Daniel, he did it once effectively. And I think it took me a while to learn how to identify with the sadness that was caused because of that before the repentance actually became very effective. But I decided to negotiate something with the Lord at that time in the very beginning of our conversation about this. When he said, think 40, I said, okay, but I would like to negotiate coffee. And I would also like to say that if I get hungry, I'm going to quit. Because it appears to me in the scriptures, it always says after 40 days, Jesus got hungry. And so I'm thinking linguistically, the indication is he wasn't hungry before the 40 days was up. And it also says in scripture that Jesus has food that his disciples really didn't know about. I don't think that's purely a metaphor. I think that it actually is nourishment of some kind. And if I put that together with his 40 days of fasting, then all of a sudden something really significant changed for me. Now I think Jesus was being fed by his Father rather than being starved by his Father. And I always had trouble with that impression of the world's best father would do this to a son and then put him face to face with the biggest enemy around. So I am going to go into this, I thought, assuming that the Lord will take care of me in terms of giving me whatever I need for living on. And so I went through the 25 days of preparation, and I began the 15 days of repenting. And I found out that I would go almost every night to this one particular place to pray. And for an hour or 2 hours, I would identify with the pain that the Lord experienced because of this unrighteous trading that my ancestors were involved in. And I did, I think, accomplish what he wanted probably around day, 43 or 44. But a very interesting happened on day 33. He said, I want you to get a scale and weigh yourself. 10 days later, I want you to weigh yourself again, and I want to show you something. And I said, well, hang on, Lord. You said, think 40. Now we're up to day 43, potentially. And he said, yes, but you said if you get hungry, you're going to quit. So what if you're still not hungry? Would that be a problem? And I go, no, sir, that'll be fine. And so I weighed exactly the same, 82.6 kilograms on day 33 and 82.6 kilograms on day 43. So I wasn't losing even, as we would say, an ounce of weight during that time, which I think validates the idea that maybe he is sustaining me. And so that was my first significant experience of fasting more than 40 days. I went 48 days in that occasion, and then I wasn't really ready to quit, but I had a customer in town and took him to dinner, as we normally do. And he saw what was going on, and he kept pushing to get information. When I finally told him how long it had been since I'd eaten, he was panicking that you can't live that long without food. And that was like 48 days. But I was fine. I was healthy. I was happy. I had all my energy. Nobody could tell that I was fasting. But I did decide to come off of that meal, have my first meal with him because he was freaking out a bit. And that first meal, they say to go really kind of easy, but I think I had chicken and beef and pork and fish all together in that first meal, but I didn't have a problem.
And so you're still alive,
Bill. That's the background, Bill. Hey, yes, apparently.
And here, because that's why I wanted to bring this up, mm-hmm. Here you have been fasting again for quite a number of days. On what day are you presently, Bill?
I just looked at the calendar. This is day 40. So it's a 40-day fast. I did sneak a little fingerful of peanut butter about 2 weeks ago. So it's not been totally without food.
Well, during that time, you were here in the Netherlands. You stayed, mm-hmm. I think, 8 days here. I was around you and you were happy as can be when we were eating and you were like, oh, I love the smell. And you were doing your workshops and you were, just happy and playful. And I promised our listeners that we will put this on YouTube, for you to watch so you can, you don't look like you came out of a prison, Bill. You're looking still good. So what is the context? Can you share with us what triggered this time to really seek the Lord? Because this is not a yearly thing you're doing, right?
Correct. It's pretty unusual for me to fast for any period of time, any lengthy period of time. The context for this is I felt like in two companies that I'm responsible for stewarding, that I have a role in stewarding, we've been stuck for at least 2 years, that we should be moving more toward what we often experienced in China as what we call breakthroughs. Resolutions to problems that seem to be hanging around us. And both of them have a lack of sales, and companies don't survive very well without sales. And so in one case, I was told to wait for the team to rise up for this particular aeroponics company. And then it would be clear what to do. But I hadn't seen the team rise up. I had hired a few people, but in the end, they didn't want to stay with that operation. And so I kept looking, and I'm tired of waiting. This is probably the honest response. I don't think we always have to wait for solutions. Sometimes patience is really required and waiting is what is required. But after 2 years, I've decided I think I need to push and get a resolution now. We can also do that. And one of the elements of wisdom is knowing when to wait and when to push. And so how is it that we push into the Lord? And I often just go to that image of Jacob running after this angel, tackling him, nailing him to the ground, and saying to him, I'm not letting you go until I receive a blessing. And I feel that is sometimes a very legitimate strategy. And so I'm kind of in that mindset right now. I say, Lord, I am coming to you, and I'm not going to give up until we get some resolution to this. Either you tell me that this is the reason we're waiting and I need to wait further, that's fine, or else we get some breakthrough. And the breakthrough usually has to do with the enemy getting involved and making delays on things that don't need to be delayed for. And so the way I'm thinking of it, and please to our audience, please write back and ask your questions. I could totally be wrong on all of this. I don't have the sense that this is what anybody else should do, but it is, for me, a step in the direction of what I've learned to do and what I've learned works. So if it's an encouragement to you, let me just focus on, go to the Lord and just ask him what he would like for you to do if you need more impact in your life of having a relationship with him. And that's essentially what I think I was looking for. So I make what is called relational investments. From relational investments, I want to get relational equity. And this is something everybody, I think, intuitively understands. If you want to have a better relationship with your husband or wife or family member, your mother or father, you could always invest in that relationship. Just ask the Lord, well, what can I do? Just be more interested in that other person. Spend more time being concerned about what they're thinking and what they want than what you want. And so from relational equity, I hope to get relational dividends, which is what I would call the breakthrough, the change in my situation, evidence that he is involved now in a way that's greater than being involved than he was before. I want to see the effect of the enemies pausing to be delayed, to be weakened, and to be taken away so that the Lord can proceed with the things that he wants to do. Now, we just do have a lot of stories of miraculous interactions with the Lord in the business context, and I haven't seen it very often in my American experience since I moved back to the States. So I'm investing in the relationship. I'm just hanging on to him. I'm not the hero of the story. I'm not more spiritual than somebody else. I don't like the idea of using self-discipline for anything. That might trigger a few people. But I have a spirit of discipline by which I can live all the disciplined life I need. But if I use the spirit of discipline, then my spiritual life is strengthened. If I use self-discipline, guess what gets strengthened in that situation? That's
yourself.
Myself. And that's the opposite of what I want to do. I want to put myself down and make it smaller, less influential, and let him rise up. So I'm disciplined through him to do what I think he would like me to do. And there you go, Hea. I'll be quiet now, and you can ask some good questions.
Well, I want to comment on that. You know, you indeed, I mean, I've been around you while you're fasting, and I've been kind of enjoying it and intrigued by it. But I didn't feel, guilty, like, why can't I do what he does? So it's just inviting. And I think that's what I sense that God is also wants to communicate with us, not condemning us like, why aren't you as holy as Bill? He's not saying that to me. He's like, hey, look at him. He's still happy, you know. He is walking with me is enjoyable. And I recall when we launched our training, I think we were in a year along after we did started our podcast and we developed a training. And first it was just online. And then we were at the BAM conference in Vancouver where we launched it. And I remember at that time learning, hey, you know, praying and also fasting, it used to be much more for me like, oh, it's a goal. It's a goal for a breakthrough. It's a goal to accomplish something and to more or less kind of twist God's arm. Mm-hmm. And like you say, we can wrestle with him. There is a place for that. But more the goal seems more important than the journey, than the relationship. And I remember flying back from Vancouver, and I never like the food on the plane. Who does? And I was like, oh, this is actually a good time to start a fast. And I think I did so for 5 days. But I remember it as an enjoyable time. Like you say, it wasn't, I didn't feel like, oh, self-discipline. But I was like, hey, I want to not focus on the outcome, like how many people sign up for our online course. We still have the online course. But, you know, not focus so much on the outcome. And I think our first course were three people. So there wasn't a huge, in that way, benefit from it. But there was a benefit in me enjoying the Lord. You know, me like, hey, yeah, this is just more, just an enjoyable journey. Bill, let's continue this conversation about fasting and being joy-filled. And how much did you lose in this 40 days, Bill? How much weight?
Well, yeah, so far I've lost about 20 pounds. And I'm still heavier than I want to be. So I'm happy to say goodbye to that. It wasn't really the goal, but it's kind of a side benefit.
But 40 days, and I know some people here in the Netherlands who did for a period, and that was kind of a, not too big, but a solid guy. He really had lost weight. How come you didn't lose that much?
I think I'm actually not going without food. So in my mind, and this could be totally incorrect, and I'm sure the theologians would love to jump on it and correct me. But if I understand what Jesus was saying, I'm not going without nourishment. Maybe that's a better word to say. He said, I have food you don't know about. And he really meant food. And so I think that I can have that same kind of access to the Lord feeding me. So in my mind, I'm switching my supply of food. I'm not going without food. And so part of the result of that is I don't actually have any hunger. So I've been able to go to buffets with friends and, you know, be totally around all kinds of food. Maybe one of the normally tempting things would be I got my free upgrade on my flight back to the States and they have wonderful meals up, you know, better meals up there. And, you know, nope, no, thank you. I'm fine. So I just passed that all up and it was easy. So it's not what people think it is. Hmm. I think I'm just being nourished by the Lord in a way that's meaningful to the two of us. And you really don't want to be talking about it in the sense that it's best when you do it in secret. And what you do, this whole thing about in being invited into secret things that you do with the Lord, giving secretly and praying secretly and fasting secretly. I just love what it does to the relationship. So in my mind, it's always about relational development, not really the results. And I just want to go after the results by building up the relationship even better than it was before.
Yes, I remember this one morning you were staying at we have a nice guest room here in our house. And I said, how did you sleep?
It's beautiful. Come and visit.
Yes, that's indeed. But you mentioned Oh, I had a wonderful night. I had this wonderful time with the Lord. So, but you, did you already see some breakthrough in your situation with the factories?
I had a wonderful morning. Again, he wakes me up about 3 typically in the morning. And this was 3 mornings ago. And the first thing he said is, get your mind off of the people that you're interacting with. And so if you have difficult business situations, it's quite natural to think of the people that you're interacting with being something related to the cause of the problem. And he was saying, no, it's not going to be about the people. Don't look at the people. That's not the issue. And then he gave me 2 ways to think about that. Like, if people are being influenced by warfare issues, then it does no good to interact with the people directly for most cases. You really need to go after the negative spiritual influences over their lives. And then the other was he gave me the illustration of someone being truly hypnotized. And I remember seeing on television someone who thought they were a chicken and they were strutting around on the stage like a chicken. And the idea was, would it do any good to talk to that person about them acting silly? And I realized, no, because they're hypnotized. You have to break the hypnotic influence over their lives to be able to talk to that person. And then in the Narnia movies, where some of the animals were turned into stone statues, and I realized, so it doesn't no good to talk to the stone statues if they're under the influence of something else. You have to break the hold of that influence. And so that took me to now what was, for the last 2 years, has been a really significant question for me. We are told in Scripture that we have weapons that are big enough to bring down strongholds. And I don't think I've ever been trained in how to use them or even in what they are. So I've been asking the Lord to teach me about the weapons. And then in this case, the other morning, he said, I want you to do a word study on the word wrestle. Because it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and authorities and spiritual places, etc. So I realized that this is a key lesson that he wants to teach me. And what I found out is that there's 4 words for sort of fighting someone. Wrestling was the most intimate of that. It's hand-to-hand wrestling. So think like the Mongolian wrestlers that I've visited and saw when I was in Mongolia, or the Greek-Roman type of wrestling. It's very physical. You don't have weapons, and you really don't have much armor on, although we do have a little bit given to us in Scripture for that. But that was discouraging, Hea, when I realized I want to be able to be a sniper and take out the enemy from a mile away. I don't want to be up close where you have physical contact and where it feels a lot more dangerous. But the good side is I learned about what victory looks like. And in this case, victory is not actually the destruction of your enemy, although you do want them to go away. Victory is not being taken down, not going to the ground. As long as I stand in a wrestling match, I'm good. And that was really, really clarifying for me, because I realized what the enemy wanted me to do. Yes, it was so encouraging, because I think I can stand and I don't have to, you know, quit. I don't need to quit. So the enemy wants me to quit. The enemy wants me to get frustrated, discouraged, stop, you know, leaning on the Lord, just quit doing it. And so if that's what the objective is, I think I can quite easily stand. And 2 of the things that we've talked about some in the past were the most encouraging. One is joy. If I'm joyful, standing just seems a lot easier than if I'm really upset. And yeah, again, my joy is not circumstances, right?
Yeah. So how has your joy meter been over this when you look back on those 40 days?
Well, normally my minimum that I allow is about an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. And my joy meter has been 9 and 10.
For our listeners, you know, we have that in our course, you know, that Bill talks about the joy meter, how important that is. But leave that to the side. So when a joy meter is 10 is the highest and 0 the lowest, you say the last 40 days has been a 9 or a 10. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been in your presence for 8 days, so you can verify or de-verify that. But it's higher than normal, I know.
Yes, and you've been fit, and you almost beat me biking around here, you know. We were like, hey, let's go for a bike ride, and I gave you a really old bike. I was on my electric one, and I was like, come on, I'm 10 years younger. How come?
Okay, I've got to take a minute and tell our audience what really was behind that story. It turns out that Gaia didn't think I could ride a bike, or I was too old, or it'd been too many years. And so she was acting like someone in a mild shock as I was able to get on and not fall over within 3 seconds.
Well, we did have fun. But so, Bill, we are already at the end of our podcast. So there has been spiritual breakthroughs in the natural you haven't seen yet, right?
That's correct.
But here you are in your 40th day. Do you know how much longer, or you have no idea?
I want to ask the Lord to feed me until we get both companies' breakthrough that would be satisfying. And so it's just like, it's kind of a non-issue. We're just taking a day at a time. And I trust that he'll be continuing to support me the way he has so far.
Well, Bill, you keep amazing me, but also you keep being contagious. And I want to learn more. But that's what I like also with hanging around you, that you always want to learn more too. You know, in another conversation, you said, I think there's so much more that we don't know of, right? And so it's wonderful, this journey of growing and learning, but doing it in a joy-filled and childlike manner. So thank you for this talk. Is there anything in closing that you want to share with our audience, or a prayer?
The most important way that I found I can stand besides using joy is in worship. As I find myself, you know, somewhat under attack spiritually, in worship, I think the enemy can't have a hold. He can't do much against us. They just sort of melt away. And so worship has become just, again, like the core thing that really helps me be stabilized and be full of life. And so I just encourage our audience to play with that idea some, to see if the Lord wouldn't want to lead you into some experiences that would be fresh and new. But thank you, Gaia, for your time. It's always delightful. And I am really encouraged that the podcast that you're developing, that I get to participate in, we hope will be a great encouragement to our audience around the world.
Well, it's been a joy again, Bill. And yes, to our audience, we are indeed looking for ways. Hey, how can we renew a format as we want to end this series and start? We might call it Kingdom Keys Conversations, make it a bit more interactive and be more visual. But we're still experimenting, so keep track of us. And do find also the YouTube channel from bamoves.com. And yeah, see you in 2 weeks' time.
See you, everyone.
This was Gaia Goort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoves.com and check out the course on Kingdom Mindsets for Business, Life and Work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.